Well, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded Israelite brothers and sisters out there. It is Tuesday, the 12th of July, and I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word. We left off yesterday finishing up chapter 37 of the book of Genesis, and excuse me if I'm a little loopy this morning, but the parts for my big printer came in yesterday. And after the show, I took a little bit of a nap and did some typing. And I pulled an all-nighter, and I cleaned up a lot of the back printing that I have been meaning to do, but I haven't been able to because of broken parts. So now all my parts are in, and it's working lovely, and I finished all the stuff that I really needed to get done on the backlog. Okay, let's see here. We'll get started in chapter 38. Now, remember, they had stuck Yosef in a pit, and they got a big surprise because Midianites pulled him up and sold him to Ishmaelites. And I made a mistake yesterday. Good morning, one Israelite. I had made an analogy between Yosef being sold for 20 pieces of silver, and I said it's the same thing that Yeshua was sold for, and I was wrong. It's 30 pieces for Yeshua and 20 for Yosef. So, duh. That's all I can say. Duh. But he was a type of Christ because he was going to save the whole family. So he was a forerunner, a prototype. There's a lot of that in Scripture. Just a little taste of what's coming. Well, he saved the family of Israel, and Yeshua has saved the family of Israel, and they were both sold for silver. Of course, Yeshua was more valuable than Yosef. He was sold for 30 and Yosef for 20. Slavery is slavery. So let's get into chapter 38. Verse 1. And it was at that time that went down Yehuda from with his brothers and turned in, that's one word, 5186, unto a man of Adullami, 5726, whose name was Kirah, 2437. Verse 2. Now this is confusing unless you have the book of Jasher in English. Saw there Yehuda, a daughter of a man of Canaan, whose name was Shua. He's a Canaanite, and his name was Shua, not her name. And Shua is 7770. And he took her and went in unto her. In other words, he just grabbed her and drug her in a hut and had sex. In the book of Jasher, chapter 45, verse 4, it gives her name as Aliyath. And the spelling is uncertain. So it's A-L-I-Y-A-T-H, unless you got a better way of spelling it. but I don't. That the spelling is not real sure. So that clears that little verse up. Verse 3, and she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Er, 6197, a half-breed Canaanite. 4, and she conceived again and bore a son, and he called his name Onan, O-N-A-N, number 209. Another half-breed. 5. And she yet again conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Shelah, S-H-E-L-A-H, 7956, the third half-breed. And he was at Kizib, 3580, when she bore him. Let me get a hit of coffee. Man, my voice is rough this morning. Oh, that goes down so good. And verse 6. Took Yahuda a wife for his firstborn, and her name was Tamar, 8559. Well, he took a pure-blooded Israelite woman as a wife for his half-breed Canaanite son. This isn't going over real well with Yahweh. He's not liking this. Because Tamar and Yehuda would produce the holy seed line that would lead up to Yeshua Messiah, King David, Solomon, all those kings. Verse 7, and was the firstborn of Yehuda evil in the eyes of Yahweh? And slew him Yahweh. What I tell you, Yahweh's not liking this. Eight. And said Yahuda to Onan, go in unto the wife of your brother, and this is all one word, do the duty of a brother. 2992. To her, and raise up, 6965, seed to your dead brother. This would later become the Levirat law. This was a custom among the Israelites that if the husband died without issue, the nearest of kin would impregnate the wife, and it would be called the son or of the dead brother. Verse 9, and knew 3045 Onan that it would not be his seed. And it was when he went in unto the wife of his brother, he spoiled it, 7843, upon the ground, failing 1115 to give seed to his brother. Verse 10. This was wicked, 7489, in the eyes of Yahweh, that which he did. And he slew him also. Well, not going to impregnate that Israelite woman, Canaanite. It ain't happening. Verse 11, said Yehuda to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, 3:6:1:8, dwell as a widow, 4:90, in the household of your father until has grown, 14:31, Shelah, my son. For he said, lest perhaps, 6:4:3:5, that's one word, he die also as his brothers. And went Tamar to dwell in the household of her father. Well, Shelah was a lot younger. And Tamar was, pardon me, I didn't get another hit of coffee. I'm coughing and everything else. Morning. Tamar was a young woman. Well, she was waiting around for this kid to grow up. And it just wasn't going to happen. Yahweh's not going to have this. Verse 12, and in many days died the daughter of Shua, the wife of Yehuda. Okay, along when she had three kids and they were all grown. And she died. They did that back then. They do that today too. And was comforted, 5:1:6:2, Yehuda. And he went up to his shearers, 14:94, of sheep, 6:6:2:9, he and Kira, his friend, the Adullami, to Timnatha, 8:5:5:3. Verse 13. And it was told to Tamar, saying, behold, your father-in-law, 2:5:2:4, goes up to Timnatha to the shearers of sheep. Okay. So she puts, puts a plan together. She's supposed to have children of the seed line, and it hasn't happened. And this was very important to the women back then, not like today where they don't want kids. That was a necessary thing for a woman back then. And she put 5:4:9:3 the garments, 8:9:9, of a widow off from upon her, and covered herself with a veil, 6:8:09, and wrapped herself, 5:9:6:8, and sat in a doorway in plain sight, 5:8:7:9, which was by the way to Timnatha. For she saw that grown was Shelah, and she had not been given to him as a wife. Okay, that's Yehuda's fault. He's not taking care of business either. So she's going to get with child, because that's what women did. That was the primary purpose in life, was to bear sons. Boy, it sure is different today. Ooh. 15. And saw her Yehuda, and he thought, 2:8:03, he thought her a harlot, 2:1:8:1, because she covered her face. Well, sure she covered her face. She didn't want him to recognize her. Verse 16. He turned to her by the way and said, permit me, 3:0:5:1, I pray to come in unto you. Now, King James Version has go to. That's not what it says. It says permit me. 3051. Look it up. They just put in whatever they were in the mood to put in the KJV. I just, you know, hey, you know, we're going to spice it up a little bit. Permit me, I pray, to come in unto you. In other words, I want to come in and have sex with you. That's the way they talked back then. For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. Of course he didn't. She had a veil on. And she said, what will you give to me for coming in unto me? He said, I will send a kid of the goats from the flock. And she says, will you give me a pledge, 6162, until you send it? In other words, yeah, sure you're going to send a kid from the goats. You're going to have your fun and then just move on and ha, ha, ha. No. We ain't doing that. Verse 18, and he said, what is the pledge that I should give you? Now, the KJV has really messed with the translation with the rest of this verse. This is what it actually says in the Hebrew, and if you're reading along in the KJV, you will notice the difference. And she said, your signet, 2368, and the cord, 6616, it hangs on, and your staff, 4294, that is in your hand. Boy, oh boy, that's a different reading entirely from the King James Version. The cord on which it was hung has been translated as bracelets. Not even close. Not even in the ballpark. Well, his signet was like a signet ring. The seal, when they used a wax seal, that was his official seal, and that was very important. And the staff, pardon me, the staff is a symbol of his authority. So that's a pledge for the payment. That's a pretty hefty pledge right there. Let's finish that verse 18. And he gave them to her and went in unto her, and she conceived by him. That was by Yahweh's hand. He was making this happen. Verse 19, and she arose and walked away and removed her veil from upon her and put on the garments of her widowhood. Well, verse 20. And sent Yehuda, the kid of the goats, by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to take back his pledge from the hand of the woman, and he could not find her. Uh-oh. She's got your signet for your seal and your staff of authority. Oh, buddy. You can imagine he was a little upset. Verse 21, then asked he the men of that place, saying, where is the harlot that was in plain sight by the way? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. Oh, boy. So, verse 22, and he returned to Yehuda and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of that place said, there was no harlot in this place. verse 23, and said, Yehuda, let her take it, lest we be shamed. 937. Behold, I set this kid, and you have not found her. 24. And it was in 3 months it was told to Yehuda, saying, play the harlot, Tamar, your daughter-in-law. And also, behold, she conceived by harlotry. This is a different time. This is what he said. And said Yehuda, bring her forth and burn her. 8313. That's pretty harsh. But that was the honor of Israel that he thought that she maligned. Well, he was about to get a rude awakening. 25. And she was brought forth and sent to her father-in-law, saying, the man that are these I conceived by. And she said, discern now whose signet and its cord and staff are these. Verse 26, and discerned Yehuda and said, more righteous, 6663, than I is she. Because over this he had not given her to Shelah his son. And he did not again any more know her. And know her means carnally. So he had her once and that was it. And he was basically put in his place. Well, Yahweh's hand is in this. These children were pure-blooded Israelites. There was no Canaanite seed in this woman. And of the royal line of the scepter carrying Judah, which will be proclaimed later at Israel's death in Egypt, he will say that Judah carries the scepter. Verse 27. And it was at the time of her birthing, behold, twins, 8380, were in her womb. And it was when she gave birth that one put out his hand and took the midwife and bound, 7194, upon the hand a crimson 8144 thread, saying, this came forth first, 7223. The crimson is a sign of royalty. That is the royal color. Now, later on, in the book of Joshua, Yahshua, there's going to be a woman named Rahab. And they say she is a harlot. But if you read the book of Josephus, she is an innkeeper, not a harlot. They used the same word for innkeeper. She was living there with her mother and her father. She wasn't doing harlotry. She had an inn and served food and took in lodgers. And she let down a scarlet thread, a crimson thread, to show thy house to the incoming Israelites that were going to destroy Jericho. And she later married a prince of the tribe of Yehuda. And a prince does not marry a harlot. We'll get to that when we get to that book. But that's the connection right here. The crimson thread. And it was, 29, and it was, he returned his hand. And behold, came forth his brother. And she says, how have you broken forth? That's one word, 6555. How have you broken forth? Upon you is this breach, 6556. And she called his name Peretz, 6557. Verse 30, and after came forth his brother, which upon his hand was a crimson thread, and she called his name Zarach. They say Zerah, but it's Zarach. Okay. This is Peretz means a breach. And Zarach would be the forefather of the Israelites in Rome. The Zarach branch of Yehuda were the Romans, where Paul went to preach to. And eventually that branch of the Zarach branch of Yehuda came back to Jerusalem, which was overrun with Edomites after Yeshua had ascended years later, and they slaughtered them. And they destroyed Jerusalem and actually plowed it with plows. They crushed the head of the seed of the serpent, their center. Well, they've rebuilt it over there. And the royal line is coming back. Ladies and gentlemen, Yeshua Messiah of the tribe of Yehuda, who holds the scepter of Israel, our true eternal king. And they have been striking at his heel all these years with their evil, and he is going to finally crush their head for all time. Alleluia, Yahweh, amen, and amen. It's coming. Yahweh does not lie. So this is the foundation of these two split tribes of Yehuda. The Peretz side and the Zarach side. Whew. Man, that is awesome history. This book just is the foundational book for the whole gospel. It just lays it all out. Man. Well, let's get into chapter 39. we're going to do a flashback to Yosef in Mitzrayim. And that's Egypt. For those that don't understand, I'm using a lot of the Hebrew terms so you become familiar with them. It is our language. It is not the language of the Jews. It is the language of Israel. And we have been given a new language now, English. But we need to know our roots, and we need to see the connections between a lot of the words in Hebrew and a lot of the words in the English language. Chapter 39, verse 1. Yosef was brought down to Mitzrayim, and bought him Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, a man of Mitzri, means he was in Egyptian, Mitzrayim, from the hands of the Ishmaelim that had brought him down there. And they bought him from the Midianites, who pulled him out of the pit. Verse 2, and was Yahweh with Yosef, and he was a prosperous man, 67:43. And he was in the household of his master, the Mitzri, and saw his master that Yahweh was with him. And all that he did, Yahweh made to prosper in his hand. Verse 4. And found Yosef grace, 2580. Remember, it's not a New Testament term. And found Yosef grace in his sight. And he served him. And he was overseer, 6485, over his household. And all he had, 3, 4, 2, 6, he put in his hand. He was the head man. 5. And it was from the time he was overseer in his household and over all that he had, blessed Yahweh the household of the Mitzri for the sake of Yosef, the blessing of Yahweh on all that he had in the house and in the field. Oh boy. And he left all in the hands of Yosef, and he did not know anything he had except the bread that he ate. And was Yosef beautiful, 3303, of appearance, 8389, and beautiful to see, 4758. And it was, after these things, lifted up the wife of his master her eyes toward Yosef and said, lie with me. Now she's talking about sexually. Verse 8, he refused, 3985, and said to the wife of his master, behold, my master does not know what is in the house with me, and all that he has put into my hands. Verse 9. There is none greater in this household than me, and he has not kept back, 28:20, from me anything from me but you, for you are his wife. How can I do such a great evil as this and sin, 2398, against Elohim? All right, 2398 has the connotation of falling short of the mark of duty, failing in his duty and his responsibility toward Elohim, to be an obedient servant of Elohim. It's different than some of the other words for sin. It means fall short of the mark. Verse 10, and it was as she spoke to Yosef day to day, and he did not listen to her, to lie near her or be with her. She's getting frustrated. She's upset. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Well, he was scorning her pretty heavy. Verse 11, it was at this time he went into the house to do his stewardship, 4399, and no man of the men of the household were there in the house. Aha, she sees an opportunity. And she seized 8610 by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left 5800, that means left or abandoned, his garment in her hand, and fled 5127 and went forth outside 2351. In other words, he ran away from her butt naked. Let's just tell it like it is. He didn't want anything to do with her. Verse 13, and it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of the household and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought a man of the Ebri, that's Hebrews 56:80, to make a toy of me, 6711, make a toy of, to sport, to play with. He came to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. Boy, she's laying it on thick. And it was when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment with me and fled, going forth outside. She put aside the garment beside her until came the Lord of the household. Well, she was setting up with her lies because she was mad because he ran away, that Joseph ran away. She was really upset. 17, she spoke to him these words saying, came to me the servant, the Hebrew, that you have brought to us to make a toy of me. And it was when I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment with me and fled outside. Verse 19, and it was when heard his Lord the words of his wife that she spoke to him saying, this is the manner that treated me your servant, that was kindled his anger. Because he's automatically going to believe his wife. Well, she wouldn't do any wrong. Verse 20. And took his lord, Yosef, and put him into the house of roundness, 5470. Says prison, says a bunch of things in different versions of the Bible, but in Hebrew it is called the house of roundness. Circular. The place that the prisoners, 631, of the king were bound, 615. And he was there in the house of roundness. Verse 21. But was Yahweh with Yosef and showed, 5186, him mercy, 2617, and gave him favor, there's that grace favor word again, 2580, in the eyes of the keeper, 8269, that means the official, the jailer, of the house of roundness. Verse 22, and put the keeper of the house of roundness in the hand of Yosef, all the prisoners that were in the house of roundness, and all they did there, he was the doer of it. So this guy's so efficient that he gets thrown in jail and he's made the head jailer. Verse 23, and did not the keeper of the house of roundness look at anything under his hand? For Yahweh was with him, and that which he did, Yahweh made to prosper. Verse 15, when it says the prisoners of the king were bound, it means bound as a captive from 631, the prisoners, and that is to yoke or hitch and fasten. They were yoked or hitched up or fastened, tied up, made to do labor, the typical things that they did in a gaol. All of this is Yahweh's grand plan, and he is just doing everything for Yosef. Even in jail, he's just doing fantastic. They made him the head jailer, for heaven's sake. They threw him in jail because he's supposed to be fooling with his master's wife. Well, he didn't do that. So Yahweh's blessing him again. Well, I got plenty of time this hour. These are short little chapters. Let's go into chapter 40. Verse 1. And it was after these things that had, this is one word again, missed their duty, 2398, that sin thing that I said, that's that missing their duty. Well, that's how it's translated here. That had missed their duty, the cupbearer, 4945, of the king of Mitzrayim, and the baker, 644, of their lord, 113, the king of Mitzrayim, was wroth, in other words, angry, 7107, Parao, against two of his eunuchs, 5631. They made them eunuchs when they were in the house as slaves. They cut them. Against the chief of the cupbearers, that's 8269, chief and the cupbearers, and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them under confinement, one word, 4929, in the house of the captain of the guard, 2876, into the house of roundness, the place that Yosef was bound there. Verse 4, and charged 6485, the captain of the guard, Yosef, with them. In other words, he put Yosef to supervise them. And he attended, 8334, to them. That also means to minister to take care of. And they were for some days under confinement. Dreamed, 2492, a dream, 2472, both of them. Each man a dream in one night. Each man by the interpretation, 6623, of their dreams. The cupbearer and the baker of the king of Mitzrayim that were bound in the house of roundness. Verse 6, came to them Yosef in the morning and looked at them, and behold, they were sad, 2196. He asked, 7592, the eunuchs of Parao, that were with him in confinement in the house of his Lord, saying, Why, 4069, is your face 6440 sad 7451 today? Now, 7451 means evil or wicked, but in this connotation here, in this instance, it's used metaphorically for great sadness. Why is your face sad today? In other words, your face evil. Well, evil doesn't work real well. So why is your face sad today? They use these things for different purposes, depending on the context. Verse 8, they said to him, A dream we have dreamed, and an interpreter, 6622, is none 369 for it. Now that's pretty clumsy in English, but that's what it says in the Hebrew. And an interpreter is none for it. In other words, there's no interpreter. And said to them, Yosef, are not of Elohim interpretations, 6623, different than 6622. Tell me, 5608, I pray you, 4994. Now, 4994 means please, or I pray you, or now. It's used in several different fashions. Verse 9. Told the chief cupbearer the dream to Yosef, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three tendrils, 8299, and it was as if they budded, 6524, and rose up her blossoms. 5322, and brought forth, 1310, clusters, 811, of ripe grapes, 6025, and the cup, 3563, of Parao was in my hand, and I took the ripe grapes and pressed them, 7818, into the cup of Parao, and gave the cup into the hand of Parao. And said Yosef, This is the interpretation of it. The three tendrils are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall lift up Parao your head, and return you unto your station, 3653. And you shall give the cup of Parao into his hand, after the former, 7223, manner, 4941, when you were his cupbearer. Now, 4941 is mishpot. It can mean rule, judgment, justice, manner, the way of doing things. It has multiple meanings. Verse 14. But remember, 2142, me, when it is well with you, 3190. And do, I pray you, kindness, 2617, and make mention, 2142, of me to Parao, and bring me forth from this house. 15, because I was indeed stolen. Now that's 1589, used twice, doubled. From the land of the Ibrim, 5680, that's the Hebrews. And also here, I have not done anything to put me in this pit, 953. Round circular pit gives you an idea they tossed him in a big pit. Well, 16, when saw the chief baker that good was the interpretation, he said to Yosef, Also, I was in my dream, and behold, three white baskets. 27:51, and baskets is 55:36, were upon my head. And in the basket that was uppermost, 59:45, was all eatables, 3978, of Parao, the work, 4639, of a baker, 644. And the birds, 5775, ate them from the basket upon my head. And answered Yosef, saying, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days will lift up Parao your head from upon you, and shall hang, 8518, you, and shall hang you upon a tree, and shall eat the birds, the flesh, 1320, from upon you. He's going to hang him and decapitate him. Verse 20, and it was in 3 days, the day of the birth of Parao, that he made a feast, 4960, for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. And he returned the chief cupbearer unto cupbearing, and giving him the cup into the hand of Parao. And the chief baker he hung, as interpreted to them by Yosef. Verse 23, and did not remember the chief cupbearer Yosef, but forgot him. 7:9-11. Wow. Oh, Yosef is blessed with interpretation of dreams. When we get into it tomorrow, into chapter 41, Parao, commonly called Pharaoh, it is not pronounced that way, but that's anglicized, is going to have some dreams, very disturbing dreams. And Yosef is going to interpret them for him. And through that interpretation, he is going not only to save the Mitzrayim, the people of Egypt, who are Adamic people at that point. They are still Adamic. They haven't mixed. Mitzrayim is one of the sons of Ham, but was not cursed like Canaan. Later on, when Moses, is there, the Mitzrayim had been conquered by the Hyksos, who were a branch of the Hittites. And they were cruel taskmasters to Israel. Because who did Edom marry into but the Hittites? So, what goes around comes around. Here we go. And this is all laying foundation for the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. And I miss that old man. He was very interesting. But we see how even though Yosef was sold into slavery, it was by the hand of Yahweh, because he had to place him in Mitzrayim to do the miracles that he was going to do to save the family of Israel, all his brothers and his father, and move them all down into the land of Goshen. So this is all according to the grand plan. And what a plan. Well, It's coming down to the wire here in a lot of places. I'm watching. I'm going to get into some current events as I see it. I'm watching this increased violence all over the place. And it makes me want to again stress preparedness for our people. The violence is random. It's all over. But when things break down, it is going to get specific. They are going to look for someone to blame for their gravy train being cut off. And who might that be? Who are they programmed to hate? Why, the true Israelites, of course. We're to blame for everything, don't you know? Really getting down to the wire, and I urge you guys out there to get go bags ready with all the necessary items. I'm going to give you a little tip. Toilet paper. Toilet paper can be used to staunch heavy bleeding in the roll. It is a valuable trade item. You can trade toilet paper to someone who does not have any for valuable items for your survival in the future. Stock up on TP. That sounds funny. Oh, toilet paper? Yeah. Try going without it for weeks on end. And you can imagine the guy that's got a lot of goodies but isn't prepared. And his wife is nagging him, Harold, why don't you get rid of some of those guns and get me some toilet paper, Harold. Oh, and boy, is he going to trade off, man. He just, you know, he doesn't have it just to shoot her. He's going to get her some toilet paper and shut her up. We have an Israelite lady coming in, and they've had some vehicle problems and have broken down and trying to get it fixed. I'm going to call her as soon as I get off the show here today. Keep Marilyn in your prayers and her mom. David James and Paul over in England. We got a lot of problems, financial difficulties, and they need your prayers. Pray for our people, please. Ask for mercy and long-suffering and protection for all of us. Because it's getting close, folks. It's starting to snowball. It's snowballing outside the United States with the dirty deals that they're doing over the vote over in England. They're going to do everything but honor it. They just can't stand an honest vote. They're not going to let it stand. It doesn't meet their agenda. So, well, I'm running down the end of the wire here, and I'll bring up chapter 41 tomorrow, and we're going to get into some real good stuff. I really love reading this section. So Yahweh bless all of you. Yahweh bless and keep you and protect you. And I say Shalom Aleichem to all of you out there of the Israelite bloodline. I will talk to you tomorrow. Yahweh bless. Praise Yahweh.